Hello, Cleveland. Welcome to the Dogland Podcast. Yes, we still exist, I promise. I am your host, Anthony Jokey, as always, joined by my co-host, Jack McCurry. Jack, man, it was a rough end to the year, but how we doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Yeah, like that, the ending was not what we expected by any means necessary, but yeah, I'm doing all right. I know we took a couple weeks, or about a week and a half after the brutal playoff loss, but here we are, man, ready to talk some Browns.
Yeah, well, a couple things happened. So One, we really didn't want to like jump in post game because we were kind of bummed out. And secondly, our schedules just kind of didn't work out. So we're not going to dive too deep into the playoff game, but I guess, you know, if you want to, you know, get your overall thoughts on it, the Browns 45-14 loss to the Houston Texans. I mean, it was pretty good for a quarter and a half, and then it really got away from the Browns. And I think the biggest story, Jack, is the defense on the road this year just couldn't figure out for whatever reason. And maybe that just means, you know, the dog pound and Cleveland Brown Stadium is that special, but they just could not get going on the road at all this year, and it really cost them in the end.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the parallels between the Browns defense at home and the Browns defense on the road. Like, it was really a tale of two cities, honestly, because, like, I think it was we gave up, like, 13 points per game at home and 31 points per game on the road, and that's just really bad. And, you know, I think a lot of us, and maybe the players did too, Anthony, like that first go around in Houston on Christmas Eve where we went there and we just beat the brakes off of them. I think maybe the players thought, all right, we're going to go in there, same game plan, same mindset, but maybe they forgot that CJ Stroud wasn't the quarterback on Christmas Eve. So who knows how much of a difference the game honestly would have been. But for him, first of all, shout out to CJ Stroud, hell of a rookie year. Obviously didn't end well against Baltimore, but he absolutely torched the Browns in that wild card game. But yeah, the defense, I think, was the biggest takeaway of how bad they played. Just the execution, they were not ready. And maybe this is a strike on Jim Schwartz, something he needs to work on. Cause we see that several times, Anthony, this year, the Seattle game, the Denver game, this Houston game, they're not ready for these high powered offenses. And maybe that's on Jim Schwartz. Maybe it's on the players, but the way that, Houston's offensive coordinator was able to cook up the game plan to just completely blindside the Browns with like the motions and making them have to switch like on a dime and just not being ready for what CJ Stroud had to offer. Like, that was just really bad. It was embarrassing. Like, Greg Newsom having a bad game. Like, the whole defense had a pretty much bad game except JOK. JOK played his ass off, had a great game. And even he, like, accepted responsibility for the loss because they just didn't play well enough. He obviously got torched on that one touchdown to Brevin Jordan. But, yeah, it wasn't the ending we wanted. It was still a game until Joe Flacco finally, the magic elixir, the magic formula, whatever you want to call it, finally ran out on him. And back-to-back pick sixes completely put the game away in the third quarter. And it was just, like you said, we were going to do post-game that night, but you and I were both just deflated, defeated, depressed, whatever you want to call it. It was just downright like a punch in the gut, and you felt it. I think we all felt it, so much so that I have taken a hiatus from X just because I could not take the takes, no pun intended, what people were making the days after the game. And I'm sure they're still making them a week and a half later.
Yeah, I don't think I've really touched X much since the game either. I don't want to sit here for the next, you know, 8 months before the season starts rehashing that playoff loss. It's not worth it. It's not worth the sanity at all. So we'll, you know, briefly talk about it here, and, you know, we're going to do a 2024. Let me get this right. A 2023-2024 season review at some point here in the new future. But yeah, with Flacco, you know, he finally turned into a pumpkin. You know, for a while.
Yeah.
You know, he was elite Joe Flacco, and he turned into non-elite Joe Flacco. And, you know, first pick six, all right, you know, maybe there's still a chance, you know, that the Browns could do something. But he threw the second one, and at that point, that was it. And then Houston goes down and scores another touchdown pretty easily offensively. So, you know, unfortunately, that was the way, you know, it ended for him here. It was a magical run. It was a lot of fun. You know, that stretch of four games you could put up there with any quarterback of the Browns, you know, since 99. You know, the Hoyer run was pretty special for those few games. I think it was the first, what, seven games or something like that, the first 10 games of that season. You know, before,
yeah, something like that,
before the Johnny Manziel thing, but then, you know, whatever. But yeah, you know, it's unfortunate that's the way it ended. You know, they definitely have a lot of questions to get through, to answer this offseason. You know, I think one of the biggest ones is Za'Darius coming back, because if not, that's a big hole to fill on the defensive line. What's going to happen with Amari Cooper? He has a year left on his deal. You know, Nick Chubb coming back from injury is another thing. He has 1 year left on his deal. Obviously, we'll talk about Deshaun Watson at some point this offseason, but we're not really going to dive deep into it today. So, you know, there's plenty of questions, and these are questions that every team in the NFL has to answer every offseason. Every year you have a variety of things after the season is over. Even the team that wins the Super Bowl, you know, the Chiefs, after winning the Super Bowl last year, had questions. You know, they had a hard time finding answers for receivers, so they don't always get answered in the following year. So we'll see how it goes for the Browns this offseason. But, you know, unfortunately, their season is over and there are still four teams playing.
Yeah, and then one of them's obviously our division rival in Baltimore. But, yeah, I mean, Flacco had a good run. I know some people were finally, like, you know, sitting back, smiling, laughing, going, that's the real Joe Flacco. This is what you guys signed, were all in love with and signed up for. And I'm sure the pro Watson people were sitting back, like, maybe smoking a cigar or something, being like, yeah, so much for bringing Flacco back and having a quarterback competition of some sort. It's like, yeah, that's probably not going to happen. Obviously, the door has been left open by Flacco, by the organization, for a potential return. Who knows if that's really going to happen? We know Deshaun Watson's going to be the starting quarterback next year, but there's a lot of questions with him, obviously coming off major shoulder surgery and the fact that he's only played 12 games in three seasons. But like you said, we'll talk about that throughout the offseason. For sure. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of questions with this team. And like you said, there is with every NFL team, especially when, you know, the Browns have invested as much money as they have. Obviously the cap that will get resolved in time. I know a lot of people are out there going, well, the Browns don't have cap space. We know how this works. We're used to this during the Andrew Berry era. They're going to create cap space. It's going to happen. Once we get closer to free agency. But like you also said, Anthony, there's going to be holes on this roster. You mentioned Za'Darius Smith. He's a free agent. The running back room is probably going to be addressed this offseason. We don't know about the O-line depth. There's going to be guys there probably coming in and out. The tackle, once again, will be a question because we have guys on one-year deals. So there's going to be change. There's going to be turnover on the roster. There's turnover on the coaching staff, which obviously we'll get to. But, you know, next year will be another big year for this organization, Anthony. It's going to be year five of the Stefanski and Berry era. This is the first time since 99 where we've had a coach and GM both entering their fifth season. There's going to be a lot of questions. It's going to be another make or break year, obviously, because we're so invested with our roster, the lack of draft capital, and right now the lack of cap space, but we know that'll get created. So there's going to be a lot of storylines and things happening this off season, but we do know the base is set. We know the Browns are a good football team. They just have to fill in some holes. They need to get their quarterback healthy, and hopefully he can get to some sort of a competitive level to get the team back to the playoffs. Because at the end of the day, that's the goal. get to the playoffs and then have a shot at winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions to answer this offseason, you know, especially when you're spending about $250 million on your roster cash-wise.
Yes.
Like the Browns are. You know, they're 30-something million more than the second team on the list. So, I mean, they're spending money. You can't say that, you know, Haslam doesn't spend money, and that's why there's a lot of pressure on the organization to win and you know, do all this to be able to, you know, potentially get to the Super Bowl. So we'll see how that is. And, you know, I guess with some of the pressure, you know, sometimes there's casualties to that. And there were three casualties after the Browns lost to the Texans, and those were three coaches: offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt, running back coach Stump Mitchell, and tight ends coach T.C. McCartney. All three coaches were let go. And now the Browns have three openings to fill those. And I guess the biggest one, Jack, is they are looking for an offensive coordinator. And as of right now, the three candidates that have had interviews are Seattle Seahawks offensive line coach Andy Dickerson, former Bills offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey, and Houston Texans quarterback coach who obviously did a great job with C.J. Stroud, who the Browns lost to in the playoffs. His name is Gerard Johnson. So those are three guys the Browns have brought in for interviews. And I guess one of the biggest things is, will the offensive coordinator be calling plays? You know, all three of these guys are coming in. I'm not sure, you know, besides Dorsey, if any of those two guys have called plays at someplace else. But, you know, we've talked about it a lot, and, you know, the media has talked about it a lot. Is Stefanski ever going to give up play calling? And if there's a new offensive coordinator that comes in here, you would think that's going to be the number one questions on their mind when they come interview with the Browns.
Yeah. I mean, this has been talked about frequently during Stefanski's run, if he's ever going to give up play calling. I talked to some people and they said that Stefanski's always willing, but obviously at the end of the day, he's always felt comfortable calling plays. That's why we never saw Alex Van Pelt do it. I think there's a chance, obviously there's always a chance that Stefanski gives up the play calling. But I think he probably wants to feel comfortable with this and doing so. I think Anthony, them making a change at offensive coordinator kind of means that they want to somehow expand the offense. We talked about this last offseason. They brought in Bill Musgrave, who had some experience in college with a more expanded shotgun-based offense. And we saw elements of that with Deshaun, with DTR, PJ, and Flacco throughout the year. But it wasn't up to par with what, you know, you see other offenses around the league, like the ones we mentioned that tortured the Browns defense this year on the road. Are they going to find that guy out here? Maybe like Gerard Johnson could do that. Ken Dorsey could do that, seeing what we saw in Buffalo. Dickerson has just been an offensive line coach, whether it's in Seattle or LA, where he was an assistant line coach for nearly a decade. It would seem like they're trying to find somebody that can do that. Mary Kay had reported that Gerard Johnson got a ringing endorsement from Deshaun Watson and Quincy Avery, because Quincy Avery obviously coaches C.J. Stroud in the offseason, along with the other list of quarterbacks that he has. So obviously they have some kind of relationship with Gerard Johnson. I would think that's the leader in the clubhouse. That's the only guy we know that's had two interviews, which has been reported. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here. I'm kind of, you know, waiting to see who they hire and if this guy's going to call plays. But, you know, Stefanski has done a good job despite what some people think. He's done a good job calling plays sometimes. You know, it hasn't been perfect, but no coach is. It's interesting to see what's going to happen here with that search and who they ultimately peg to be the new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it really is going to be interesting because, you know, this team needs like a jumpstart offense. And it's kind of like the situation they were in last year on the defensive side. You know, they let Joe Woods go. They bring in Jim Schwartz to transform that defense. And, you know, by all means, they did that. Now, we didn't get the results on the road that we wanted to, but you can see the pieces, parts come into play for, you know, most of the game and most of the home games. But you're kind of hoping Kevin Stefanski and company is able to do the same thing on offense, give this offense a jumpstart that it needs. Obviously, the quarterback health is the key behind all of this, because you can't go in there and start five different quarterbacks again next year. It's just not, you know, ideal by any means. So, you know, you have to find somebody that's going to help take this offense to the next evolution. I think we saw glimpses of that this year at times, what they could do. You know, we saw how well the play action worked with Flacco. You know, we saw Deshaun Watson do the same thing a little bit, you know, before he got hurt. So, you know, they have to find a happy medium to, you know, make this thing run the way they wanted to. And, you know, the injuries weren't injuries, you know, somehow they still managed to win 11 games, score a decent amount of points with all the injuries to the offensive line, Nick Chubb, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we could go on for an hour talking about the injuries, but, you know, they still managed to do a decent job. Now it's time to take the next step and go to the next level with this offense. And hopefully, you know, that's Deshaun Watson. Hopefully that's Nick Chubb. You know, can Njoku even get to a higher level than what he played at this season? Are, you know, easily having his best season in his entire career. You know, can you utilize him and just to be the absolute dynamic player in the offense next season? So we'll see how it goes. You know, we'll see if they can get a good overhaul of the offensive side like they did with the defense last year. And if they're able to, Jack, I think this team could, you know, definitely take the next jump.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what Stefanski was able to do this year. They were 10th in scoring in the league, 23 points a game. You would like to see them get up just a little bit closer to 30. But we know Stefanski's willing to make changes. You mentioned it, what happened last year, and, you know, pulling out his buddies, Joe Woods, Mike Prefer, inserting Jim Schwartz, Bubba Ventrone, change the culture for both units. If he's willing to find a guy that he can mesh with offensively, help, you know, collaborate and execute a new game plan on offense, a new style on offense, that's going to make this team take off. I think Stefanski's willing to do that. We've seen he's been willing to make changes. If he's going to do it for the betterment of the team. But if he can't find that guy, then he's going to continue to call plays, and they're going to find someone that he can somewhat mesh with to help formulate a good solid game plan to take this thing to the next level. I think they can do it. And you mentioned it, some of the pieces there, getting Nick Chubb back, getting Deshaun Watson back, getting the offensive line healthy. But we've seen what this offense can do down the stretch. Amari Cooper putting up incredible numbers, having a career year. David Njoku finally reaching that elite status that we've been waiting for. They got to get the running game going behind Nick Chubb, because Nick Chubb's not going to be ready at the beginning of next season. Jerome Ford, good back. I don't think he's just a backup at this point. Kareem Hunt, is he going to come back? We don't know. They got to revamp that running back room somehow. They're going to have to get some depth behind Njoku, because Bryant and Akins are free agents. And then the wide receiver room, they need to keep investing in it and not late third round picks, which they've had the last several years, and Schwartz and Bell and Tillman. They have that second round pick. It's in the 50s. If they have to move up for an impact wide receiver, I think now is the time to do it. Elijah Moore had a good year, wasn't a great year. They need to get more explosive on offense. And I think that's the biggest thing. We had expectations for Elijah Moore. They didn't pan out. There's some guys in the draft that I've been looking at the last several months, which obviously we'll get to in the offseason. But if they want to get that guy, they're going to have to move up in the draft to do so. But I think this offense has the potential to go up the next level. It's just a matter of, does Andrew Berry make the moves, and does Kevin Stefanski find someone to help get that offense to the next level that we know it can get to?
Yeah, I think there's three priorities for the offense. Well, besides like getting the offense coordinator and staff and whatnot. So like you said, finding another receiver, I think is a huge thing to go opposite of Cooper. Now, we saw towards the end of the year, Cedric Tillman get much more involved in the offense. We saw, you know, David Bell do the same as well. So, you know, maybe those guys will take a step. David Bell will be going into year three, Cedric Tillman into year two. Next on the list, they got to find another running back. You know, going into next year, you know, we're not sure if we're going to be missing Nick Chubb for, you know, some games to start the year, how that's going to go. But I think they need to find another solid back so they can have a good 1-2 punch and maybe have a guy that can step in for a few games, you know, until, you know, Chubb is able to return, if he's not able to go right at the start. And lastly, I think you have to answer the question about what you want to do at left tackle. You know, Jed Wills is going into his last year of his deal, right? They picked up the option, so he's going into the last year of his deal. You do have DeJuan Jones at right tackle. You got Jack Conklin. So you have to figure out, you know, what you want to do at left tackle. Do you want to put DeJuan there and maybe find somebody else to play right tackle? Do you want to extend Jed Wills? You know, that's another question I think that they have to answer this offseason, so that way you're not going into the following year after Wills' contract runs out and you're kind of left stranded without one, because that would not be a good thing to be stranded without a left tackle. So I think that's the third question that they really need to, you know, look for this offseason.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, and you got to start looking towards the future on the interior as well. I know Betonio said he's back, but he had an injury-plagued year. Wyatt Teller got back on track, had a really good season. But, yeah, that offensive line, and obviously we're kind of waiting to see what happens with the coach of that group. But, yeah, I mean, there's some big things they got to do on both sides of the ball. But the offense, obviously, that's kind of the main focus now, because – we might have a new offense, a new system. Got to get the quarterback healthy and get him ready. And then obviously the running back as well. So there's a lot of questions, and we're going to have plenty of time this offseason to break them all down.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. For sure. We'll be coming up, I think, over the next few weeks. So, we'll, you know, we kind of talked about it a little bit, but I think we should go into a deep dive of each position and kind of, you know, kind of maybe do a review of the year and kind of do an outlook and just kind of look forward to 2024 and see how, you know, this roster could shake out and what improvements they could make. You mentioned the offensive line coach. You know, Bill Callahan is the offensive line coach. His son, Brian Callahan, is pretty much set to be the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans after they had fired Mike Vrabel. And there's been a lot of talk of whether or not Bill Callahan will join his son in Tennessee. And if so, Jack, we know how instrumental Bill Callahan has been to this offensive line. You know, the development of DeJuan Jones, who had a great rookie year. Ethan Pochick, you know, reviving his career here after being in Seattle. What he's been able to do for Wyatt Teller. Maybe getting the best out of Jedrick Wills as well. You know, Betonio is just an all pro and has been doing this for so long, but I would imagine, you know, he's been able to help him as well. And not to mention, you know, guys like Nick Harris and Michael Dunn, you know, guys that have had to come in and make spot starts and, you know, do pretty well for this offensive line as well. So if they were to lose Bill Callahan, I think that would be just a crucial loss with how important he has been to this offensive line over the last few years.
Oh, definitely. He's done such a phenomenal job. You think back to that 2020 season, getting Wyatt Teller to all pro status, having, you know, JC Treader, Joel Betonio, adding Jack Conklin, who had an all pro year. Betonio had an all pro year. Jed Wills had a good rookie year. Obviously he's tried his best to get the best potential out of Jed Wills. Hasn't worked out so much, but it was definitely glaring to see how much he was missed once the injuries happened, having Jerron Christian out there and James Hudson and whoever. But Yeah, if he leaves, like, I get it. You know, there's an opportunity to coach with your son, who's now a head coach. Like, that's a great opportunity. But, you know, as the day has gone on Tuesday, which we're recording on Tuesday night, it kind of seems like the Browns might not be losing him, Anthony, because Sports Illustrated reported that Callahan is one of the highest paid coaches. The Browns gave him a contract extension last year, and I think he's making at least $3 million a year, if not more, which just shows how much the organization values Bill Callahan and what he's been able to do.
He deserves every penny of it.
Oh, without question. He's done a fantastic job, despite some of the circumstances. But he's also 67. You know, he's one of the old heads. Obviously, he's been in coaching a long time. Do the Browns want to go with a younger approach? They interviewed Andy Dickerson, which kind of says, like, this is our plan if Bill Callahan ultimately leaves. Dickerson's a young, up-and-coming head coach. He's worked with offensive line for a long time, whether it was the Rams or recently with the Seahawks, who have both had solid offensive lines throughout the last decade. So I think the Browns obviously have a plan. They're always a forward-thinking organization. So if Callahan leaves, which I don't think anybody's going to be upset with the decision he makes if he wants to go coach with his son, but I still think there's a good possibility that he's going to stick around. But we know, Anthony, the Browns seem to always have a plan with this forward-thinking front office. So obviously, if he does ultimately leave, I'm sure they have somebody lined up already.
Yeah, there's no shocks that come to this Browns front office and coaching staff. I think they're always prepared, and you're right. If they end up losing Bill Callahan, to the Titans, I'm sure they already, you know, will have a sort of replacement. And, you know, one of the replacements could be one of the offensive line coaches that they interviewed for OC, and that's being Andy Dickerson. So,
right.
That's certainly a possibility there as well.
The running back coach, they fired Stump Mitchell. They interviewed Deuce Staley like that day. So they obviously had a plan in mind to, like, we're going to move forward without Stump Mitchell, but we already got this guy in. And I think the Browns are waiting on Deuce Staley, who obviously has been a running back coach. He's got an offer on the table, but he's also got an offer on the table from the Jets. So we're kind of waiting to see which team he's going to take for that position too. So, but yeah, like you said, the front office is always two steps ahead.
Yeah, it's not like a spur of the moment decision that they let all these coaches go. These are conversations that they've had for, I'm sure, weeks, if not months, leading up to this, and they have a plan in place, and they're doing their best to execute it right now to, you know, find all those replacements. They were able to find one replacement for the tight end coach that they let go, and that is former Notre Dame quarterback and Alabama offensive coordinator Tommy Rees has made a jump to the NFL, and he will be the tight end coach for the Cleveland Browns next year. And, you know, it's interesting, Jack, because, you know, this guy wasn't that great as a college quarterback. I think you told me he joined a team after going undrafted, and he was there for like a week or something. And ever since then, you know, he's been a coach, and to be the offensive coordinator for Alabama and to have that trust from Nick Saban to run the offense, I think you're doing pretty well for yourself because he is younger than you and I, and that's saying something.
Yeah, I mean, he was not a great Notre Dame quarterback by any means, and yeah, I did say he got undrafted in 2014, signed with the Redskins, the then Washington Redskins, and was cut a week later, and then he jumped into coaching. And he's been on the rise ever since, offensive coordinator at Notre Dame, offensive coordinator at Alabama. Now he's a tight ends coach in the National Football League. He's younger by like 5 months than me, and I think you're older than me, so I don't know how much younger he is than you. But yeah, he's done a pretty good job where he's been in college as a offensive play caller. The reports were, and credit to Zach Jackson, friend of the show, he's the one that broke the story, that Rees is going to have some kind of role in the development of the passing game. So maybe he's going to be the pass game coordinator and the tight ends coach. We don't have the official title yet for him, but it's an interesting hire, obviously. It's, you know, he's a young offensive mind that's coming up through the ranks, has had some big responsibilities for two major college football teams, and now he's taken a crack at the NFL. So it'll be definitely interesting. He did a good job with Alabama this past year, averaged 34 points a game. Jalen Milroe, who the new Ohio State offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, said couldn't be a quarterback. And I thought he had a pretty solid year as a quarterback for the Crimson Tide. But yeah, he did some good things at the college level. Now we'll get to see what he can do with David Njoku and the rest of that Browns tight end room, as well as the development of the passing game too.
Yeah, he seems like somebody that might be on the fast track to being an offensive coordinator and maybe be a head coach down the road. If, you know, he was with Alabama, now he's in the NFL. You know, he certainly could have that potential as a coach. And, you know, if he can help out David Njoku, that's great. You know, it's kind of funny. The football teams in Ohio keep on raiding Alabama over the last like 3 or 4 weeks. But, you know, it's just to our benefit, I guess.
My goodness. I mean, I can't wait to see what Alabama's going to be like now, because they've lost like 30 players in the transfer portal. The Buckeyes picked up a couple of them. Bill O'Brien, obviously, who was there and went back to New England. Now he's in Ohio State. And now, obviously, the Browns get Tommy Rees. Like, it's going to be an interesting football year for sure, both pro and college, because the landscape has definitely changed with Nick Saban leaving, Belichick potentially going to another team. Like, it's just going to be a madhouse this year, both on both levels of football.
Yeah, I know. Bill O'Brien is the offensive coordinator of the Buckeyes, and it's just like bizarre world.
If Ryan Day and Kevin Stefanski both give up offensive play calling in the same year, maybe the apocalypse is finally going to happen in 2024, Anthony.
That's not allowed to happen until we win the Super Bowl. I don't care if it's the second after the clock strikes zero, but it could not happen a second before that.
So I don't know how much longer we're going to be, but because we're probably not recording again before Sunday, who are your picks in the championship games?
Should I give you what I want versus what I think?
I want to hear what you think. I want to hear what you think.
Because they're two separate podcasts. I know. I think it's going to be chalk. I think it's going to be the Ravens or 49ers. The Ravens are just on a different level offensively and defensively at the moment. I don't know if Detroit can go on the road to San Francisco and win. And I kind of hope, since I think the Ravens will win, that the 49ers will win, so they have a better chance at beating the Ravens, because I don't think the Lions would stand a chance in the Super Bowl against Baltimore. So what I think is going to be the Ravens and the 49ers in the Super Bowl. What I want is the Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions. That's the Super Bowl that I want.
Same. I'm right there with you. That's what I want. I think San Francisco is going to win, but I will not be stunned if Detroit wins, because they are riding a wave of momentum. Unfortunately, they won't be home, but I have a feeling the Lions fans are going to travel. I don't know how much that's going to help them out on the West Coast, but there's always a chance that the upset happens. And I'm just hoping to God Patrick Mahomes does it again. Like, I know it's going to be tough being in Baltimore. That defense is nasty. Lamar Jackson is playing at an MVP level. If he doesn't win MVP, I'd be stunned. But yeah, I just have a feeling that Baltimore is going to the Super Bowl. But hopefully we get it the way we want. Detroit, Kansas City. Like I said, I'll take Taylor Swift being at the Super Bowl over the Ravens any day of the week.
Oh, absolutely. And now I'd want Taylor in the Super Bowl even more, just because of how many people are complaining about it.
And I want Jason Kelce drunk, yes, shirtless in the suite, like being a complete savage. Cause
that
was,
how fun was that?
That was amazing. Seeing him take a shot out of a bowling ball with the Bills Mafia, seeing him jumping out of the suite, partying with the Bills Mafia. Like, that was great. Like, I know people are annoyed with Taylor Swift and the Kelces and everything, but Jason is entertaining as hell. Congrats on a great career. Can't wait to see what he's going to do in post-retirement, and maybe Travis too, because the rumors are out there that they're both going to retire after this season. But yeah, I mean, the entertainment value is top-notch with those two.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, a couple of Cleveland boys, of course.
Yep.
You know, just love it. Have a lot of fun. You know, too bad we couldn't get them on the Browns, but, you know.
MGK tried.
Oh, well. And Travis Kelce begged Rod Krasinski to draft him too back in the day. But what could have been? What could have been?
Thanks, Banner and Lombardi.
It always goes back to Joe Banner. Of course it does.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right.
6 degrees of Joe Banner.
On that note, we are going to get out of here. We'll probably be back next week, I would assume. Yep. Although with us and our work schedules, I wouldn't assume everything. But I think there's a good chance that we'll be back next week. And
we'll make something work next week.
Yeah, I think the next 2 weeks, you know, one between maybe do like a preview or like a recap of the season, and then, you know, kind of make like a Super Bowl preview with whatever Browns news the week after that. But we'll be here to talk everything Browns as we have been for wrapping up year 7, Jack. Crazy.
I know. It is crazy, man.
You know, I've had nothing but fun doing this, and I've been really lucky to have a good partner, a good friend on the other side while we've been doing this for so many years. And it is crazy that we've spent 7 years together doing this podcast. So it's just we're getting ready for year 8, I guess.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure working with you, man. You've been a good friend, a good partner. And yeah, we're getting ready for year 8. And before you know it, Anthony, like, the Super Bowl will be over and we'll be jumping into free agency and draft talk, which I'm ready for draft talk, because obviously, you know, I've been doing stuff for Dogs by Nature and stuff. So this will shock you. I'm ready for draft talk, man.
Well, at least we don't have to talk about like halfway into the football season anymore, because that was exhausting for a few years.
Yeah. Almost halfway into the football year. We were doing it after like week one some years.
And then you had to put like duct tape on my mouth so I couldn't talk about the draft once we started to get a little bit better. So
speaking of the draft, real quick before we wrap things up, I was on Draft Fill Room, an NFL draft podcast with Jacob Roach, who's been on the show before. Last week we did a first round 2024 mock draft on his podcast, so guys, definitely go check that out if you haven't.
Did the Browns trade up for every first round pick in that draft?
We didn't, but we took a wide receiver.
Okay. All right. I might have to go back and listen to that to see who you guys ended up having the Browns take in that draft.
For sure, man. It was fun.
All right. As always, be sure to follow Jack on X at JackMcCurry08. Follow me at Anthony Jokey, J-O-K-I. Be sure to follow the Dogland on X, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, at the Dogland handle. With all that, we're going to get on out of here. Like I said, we'll be back next week at some point, more than likely. Until then, and always, go Browns.